This is the Inch Podcast, a production of InsideCollegeHockey.com. Now, let's send it to our podcast host, Joe Gladyszewski.
Hello, welcome to an Inch Podcast, the annual Inside College Hockey Selection Sunday podcast. We're going to talk about all of the regions, all of the teams, some of their strengths, some of their weaknesses, some of the matchups, and everything else to know about the upcoming NCAA tournament, recorded March 18th, 2012. Joined by Inch senior writer covering the WCHA, Jess Myers. Hello, Jess.
Most wonderful time of the year. Let's get after it, guys.
And also Hockey East senior writer Kevin Zeiss.
Greetings. Let's get doing it.
Yeah, this is tournament time. And, of course, Inch editor Mike Eidelbus.
My brain is mush.
We've taken in a lot of hockey here over the last several days, and plenty of coverage, obviously, throughout the NCAA tournament here at Inch. Happy to fill you in now that the hockey part of the hockey is the main focus instead of some extraneous other things. Let's go region by region, and let's start with the East Regional in Bridgeport, Connecticut, where Union is the number one seed. They will play the fourth seed of that region, which is Michigan State, in the first round. Let's get a little bit into that. These are Friday-Saturday games. Let's get into that with Union. Bus, probably both of these teams are a little unknown. Don't play a lot on television. Don't have that national exposure. But Union's a really good team. I mean, they earned this number one seed. We've talked about them in past podcasts, and certainly I have more familiarity than most of the others on this podcast because I cover ECAC hockey. And this is a veteran team who has gotten better, learned from mistakes. You know, this is a team that each and every year has, for the last 3 years, has been the best year in program history. But with that, you know, comes growing pains. You've seen it recently with programs like Miami, maybe Western Michigan, you know, in the same time frame that they're getting better, and now that they're on the stage, they know how to react and what to expect. And they proved that this past weekend by winning the ECAC hockey tournament. Michigan State might be similar to last year's Union team. You know, they're good. They're good enough to be in the tournament. But it might be a big ask to expect more than one or two wins out of them. What are your thoughts on the Spartans, Buzz?
Well, I think that it's a very adequate comparison when you look at Union and Michigan State. You know, we talk about the importance of taking those steps, and Union, I think, by winning the ECAC Hockey Championship this past weekend, took that step to having a successful weekend and winning a tournament that is similar to an NCAA regional setting. You know, obviously they got in the tournament for the first time last season, and now they know what that whole process is all about. You know, they're the veteran team. They have some expectations. They have some familiarity, and you know, they're going back to the same place, for crying out loud. So I think it's a natural progression. Michigan State, you know, at 19-15-4, you know, they've got the lowest winning percentage of any team in the field of 16. But yet, I think that they're a very interesting team in that if you broke them down and scattered the pieces, you know, these guys would not be as valuable as they are when they're playing together. This is a true team effort. Torrey Krug is certainly their standout on defense. He's the team's leading scorer. Hobie Baker, finalists, obviously. and a terrific player. But they, you know, some of those other pieces, they're not super dynamic up front. Their goaltending is good. I think when you look at their roster, they're maybe a year or two away from being the type of team that goes in and makes a real deep run in the tournament. But this will be a good experience for them to get in the tournament, which is something that hasn't happened in a while. I think it's been 2008 since they were last in. Get that experience under their belt. And certainly, you know, if things go the right way, they can beat Union, although I think that just the depth and experience of Union might be too much for them to handle.
Yeah, Union, you know, really proved they had learned a little bit with their performances in the ECAC hockey playoffs. You know, they were in some close games in the quarterfinal series against RPI, but won those games and didn't trail much. You know, they were tied or ahead most of that weekend. And then played very well in the semifinal round against Colgate at Atlantic City, and again they were in a close game with Harvard, but really were kind of on the front foot, so to speak, and did a nice job there.
From afar, it seems like they're playing with a purpose.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you look at Michigan State, they're, you know, let's be honest, where they've come to from where they've been over the last couple of years. I mean, this season, I would think, exceeds all their expectations. You know, this has been quite a year for them.
Yeah, this is gravy for the Spartans. But gravy's delicious, and you want it, you know. They'll try to keep it going. We're not, I mean, it could possibly be construed that we're writing this one off, but we're not at all, because we've seen this tournament closely for a lot of years and know that anything can happen.
No, I don't think I agree with what you're saying, that we're not writing it off, but I think that you look at this matchup and it's two programs that are clearly at different stages.
Yes, that is true.
Union's expectation is beyond just getting into the field, whereas Michigan State, you know, I think just getting this far is certainly... certainly, you know, a successful season for them, regardless of what happens on Friday.
Yeah. The other semi in this region is Miami against UMass Lowell. And, Kevin, I think it goes to a little bit of what we were just saying about stages of your program. Where Lowell is right now is again, maybe similar to what we saw with Union last year.
Absolutely. I think this is a team that's been consistent all season long. They've really kind of gotten to the later stages of the year and sort of maybe realized at that point where they were in the standings and just what they'd already accomplished. And I wonder if maybe a little bit of that kind of got into their head. Obviously lost in the hockey's quarterfinals to Providence, three games there. This is a team that doesn't have a whole lot of playoff experience, as we'd mentioned with Michigan State. The last time in the NCAA tournament field was 1996. Last year, they didn't even make the Hockey East playoffs after winning five games and pretty much seeing their season, for all intents and purposes, come to an end in February. So it's definitely a team that doesn't have the experience on the big stage. Especially that their opponent in the first round, Miami, definitely has.
The three teams we've discussed at length so far are all led by first-year coaches at the Division I level, head coaches. And you've got a Miami team that's had a lot of success as a program for the last 5 or 6 years and several Frozen Four appearances, but still hasn't won that national championship. Where does Miami stand in your eyes right now, Bus?
Interesting team to watch because, you know, they've got Rico Blasi, obviously, and guys on that team who have a ton of tournament experience. But clearly this season they've been retooling on the fly, kind of leaving that Andy Mealy, Carter Camper era and moving into a new era that eventually I think you're gonna look and see the hubs of this team be a couple of guys who are freshmen right now, Jimmy Mullen and Austin Czarnik. And the guy that's basically serving as the bridge is Riley Smith, who, if he's not the best goal scorer in the country, he's obviously in the top three. I think he's at 30 goals right now. Obviously, a Hobie Baker finalist. And, you know, this team has really – they got off to a – I think even Coach Blasi would probably admit they got off to a horrible start. But as the season has progressed, they've gained momentum. The freshmen, who they had a lot of expectations for, have really stepped into those roles that were once held by Mealy and Camper. They've become comfortable playing with Smith, and they've become formidable. The other thing that's been a real boon for Miami is Connor Knapp in goal. You know, Miami has typically gone with a goaltender by committee approach with Knapp and Cody Reichert, and you know, Coach Blasi has tended to either alternate them or just go with a hot hand for extended periods. We've seen kind of both over the past few years. Both are seniors, and Knapp has really stepped forward and taken charge, and he's been the guy for them.
All right, let's move on to the next regional, and let's stay in the Northeast. The games in Worcester feature number one seed Boston College against number four seed Air Force, and then the 2-3 matchup is Minnesota Duluth against Maine. Let's start with that 2-3 game, Jess, and you've got a Minnesota Duluth team who has a four-game winning streak in this tournament.
Right, yeah, and that's a good thing. That'll get you a trophy, actually.
Where are the Bulldogs right now?
You know, I think they're in pretty good shape. Obviously, you know, they're on a one game losing streak, but in that game, you know, down 3-0, rallied, tied Denver, and put 70 shots on net. You know, a game that obviously could have gone either way, and they did some fun things offensively. I love. Especially their forwards down low in the offensive zone, when you think you've got them tied up, the way they're able to create something out of nothing. And in Jack Connolly, I think they've got a guy, you know, who's one of those people that draws your eye, that you always know where he is on the ice, and you know, fans start to stand up in anticipation that something cool is going to happen when he gets the puck. I think, like a lot of us, I was looking forward to that matchup with Spencer Abbott in the first round, but you know, we'll obviously have to wait and see Abbott's condition, and that would make it a much better game, obviously, if he plays in it.
Kevin, where are the Maine Black Bears right now?
Maine had a bit of a difficult time with Boston College in the Hockey East Championship game, but as Jess kind of mentioned a little bit with Duluth and the things that they can do offensively, I think Maine's got as good of a line as you'll see anywhere in the country. The line of Spencer Abbott, Brian Flynn, and Joey Diamond. And those three guys probably are accounted for about a little bit more than a third of Maine's points on the year. And you know, when those three guys get together on the power play, along with defenseman Will O'Neill, Matt Mangine plays a little bit of defense there on the power play there. Those guys have been playing it, you know, together 2-3 years now, and they really kind of put on a clinic as far as how to put on a power play. Obviously, Abbott got injured in the semifinal win over Boston University on Friday night and missed out on Saturday night's game. And whether his absence or just the physical toll that the up and down game on Friday night against the Terriers kind of took. But they didn't really look like themselves against BC on Saturday, and it'll be interesting to see A, if Abbott can come back and play this weekend, and B, just how much jump they might have coming in against a very good Duluth team.
This is a little bit of a macro picture of Maine season, but what they got a tough road to get out of this region for sure. With Minnesota Duluth and a possible matchup against Boston College again. But this is a Maine team that doesn't have anything yet. You know, they never really were in first place of Hockey East for any extended period of time. You know, they've stayed in the national rankings, but they haven't really threatened the top five. Is this just another one of those teams that's good, not great?
Possibly. To be honest, I kind of look at it as sort of baby steps. I know that's almost sacrilege for a passionate fan base like Maine has. But this is a program that hasn't been to the NCAA tournament, and you know none of these players have been there before. And then this is a program that is accustomed to being in the national tournament. So, you know, they haven't won Hockey East since 2004. They, you know, the list kind of goes on and on. I think they had a few years there, especially the last couple of years there with Gustav Nyquist, where they had some talent, but just didn't quite be able to put everything together. And I kind of look at this year and sort of think that, you know, it's sort of that baby step mentality of, all right, we got into the tournament this year. Let's, you know, do what we can do and kind of come back and see what we can handle next year.
All right, let's move to the other semifinal there. You've got Boston College, 15 straight wins, hottest team in the country, number one down the stretch. And they're playing against Air Force, a veteran team who has been in this tournament a lot of years. I believe it's five out of the last six, and has given some teams some real trouble in the past. Bus, I guess, start with Air Force and what they can do and what they've got going for them.
I think the biggest thing that that they really have going in their favor is that, you know, you mentioned they've been in the NCAA tournament five of the last 6 years or four of the five or, you know, whatever the number was. Every time they're in, they're playing the number one overall seed. So, yeah. You know, so it's not that big of a deal for them to be, you know, to be matched up against who the selection committee deems to be the best team in the nation. You know, in most cases, they're playing close to their opponent's home, and, you know, they're always considered vast underdogs, but yet, you know, we've seen them win. We've seen them obviously beat Michigan a few years ago.
They gave Yale all they could handle last year, boy.
That's right. And even when they
took that game to overtime, and they were the aggressor in overtime.
Yeah, and even when they don't win, they're right there. They took Minnesota to overtime, I think, back in that must have been 07 back in Denver, yeah, in the West Regional.
That's really a prize for getting the first overall seed, is having to face that juggernaut every year. It's like, wow.
Well, I think that and it seems like the things that they've leaned upon in the past is, they've always had good goaltending, and they've always had this mentality of being able to withstand everything that their opponents have thrown at them, and not only been able to take it. You know, you don't get the sense that they're ever hanging on for dear life.
But they stick around. Yeah.
Yeah. By hang on, I mean, you know, at any moment this entire house of cards could collapse. It's not like that with Air Force. I mean, you know, they'll take whatever punches that you throw their way, but the counterpunch too. And I think that I think that can be very frustrating for opponents to when they seem like they're throwing everything at them. At Air Force, and Air Force comes back and has a counter, has a solution, and keeps it close and stays in the game. And they're always going to be a tough out. I mean, it's always going to be close. I think this season maybe they're meeting probably the best team that they've faced in an NCAA tournament in Boston College, because the Eagles are firing on all cylinders, and they're looking better than any team in the field at this point in time. I think that's a pretty safe assessment.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit. And you can't help but think back to last year when, if it wasn't Boston College, it might have been North Dakota. But at this time of the year, those were kind of the teams you had your eye on. And BC was playing very well, but was knocked out in the first round. by CC. What do you think? There's a different sort of motivation or different sort of impetus for Boston College this time around, Kevin?
Oh, I think without question. I think they've got a veteran club there, and I think for the vast majority of those players, they remember the sting of what it felt like to get beat last year by CC out in St. Louis. So this year they're playing closer to home, but at the same time, I think they definitely have that motivation of let's not let history repeat ourselves. So I definitely see Boston College as not being phased, and definitely not taking Air Force lightly this weekend.
Talk about Goudreau a little bit. What he's been doing lately for BC?
I'm sorry, for who? Who do you want me to touch on?
Okay. Goudreau.
Goudreau, thank you. Sorry, I had to cough there for a second and lost you.
All right.
Goudreau has been without question probably the hottest player in college hockey. As they've been going on their tear here, his production has very much mirrored the team. This past weekend, had two just really nice rebound goals in the championship game on Sunday night or Saturday night, sorry, against Maine. Just hanging around the net and being alert with the stick and getting those. But he's also showing an ability to kind of make some plays with the puck as a passer and distributor. Kind of had a little bit of a no-look pass on their third goal on Saturday night that, you know, it's definitely not something that you expect to see a freshman make. It was a very much a veteran play, and obviously by this time of the year, he's played in 35, 37 games, whatever it is. But, you know, it's still something that you typically don't expect to see out of a kid in his first year.
All right.
In his last 13 games, going back to the start of February, he's got 10 goals and 11 assists. So
that's good, right?
For what it's worth, that's fairly effective. Jerry York's quote, by the way, at the end of the NBC broadcast last night was about Goudreau was classic. But he's basically said, I don't think he's ever been a freshman.
Huh, there you go. Moving on once again, Midwest Regional games in Green Bay. Starts with Michigan and Cornell in the 1-4 matchup. Michigan earns the top seed there after finishing second in the CCHA regular season and then losing the CCHA championship game to Western Michigan. This is a Wolverines team that has some pretty strong talent, and certainly was in the national championship game last year. I think, well, I'm not going to say that. I think of the number one seeds, they would be the favorite to get through their bracket more so than the others. But I can't get away from Boston College in that conversation. Back to Michigan, you know, you've got another Hobie finalist here, and you mentioned some already in some of the teams we've brought up. And Sean Hunwick, Bust, who plays an orthodox style, but it works for him. And this is a team that really got it going in the second half of the year.
Yeah, you won't find Sean Hunwick in any goalie tutorial videos, that's for sure. I mean, he's kind of like a tumbleweed out there. He just, you know, he's rolling around and, you know, throwing his leg pads this way and his blocker that way, and yet, you know, it seems like the puck is always hitting him. You know, he really is a special player in the sense, and a deserving Hobie finalist, but special in the sense that there is no other player in hockey right now in the NCAA who does what he does the way he does it. I mean, he's unique. He's fun to watch. And I think he's a perfect fit for this team, which, you know, I really think that the strength of Michigan this year is the team aspect of the Wolverines. You know, you think about years past, and we're always talking about, you know, these great individual players that they have, guys like Carl Hagelin or a Porter or a T.J. Hensick or, you know, the list, you know, Jack Johnson, the list goes on and on and on. But this year the strength is really that they've got all of these guys who are, you know, maybe not the first team All-America types, but just they come after you wave after wave after wave. You know, you've got David Wahlberg, big forward, you know, tied for the team lead with a freshman, Alex Guptill, with 33 points. A really good defenseman like Lee Maffey, who's a junior and 32 points. You know, their most talented player is probably John Merrill on defense, who, you know, obviously we've talked about his situation and only playing half the year. But it's, you know, you notice that when he came back to the lineup after the first of the year, you know, Michigan really hit its stride. So, you know, is there a connection? You really can't know that for sure unless you're with the team day in and day out. But, you know, it's certainly it's something that's worth mentioning. But, you know, I like their balance and I like the way these guys play as a team. Seemingly, maybe the best collection of team players that I remember that I've seen Michigan have in recent memory, at least.
Yeah, and that goes to point a little bit at the team they're playing against with Cornell. You know, there's nobody on this team who's gonna be that guy. You know, the dynamic talent, NHL type player, like, you know, in recent years they've had the likes of Colin Greening or Riley Nash or a player like that. But you've got two lines who provide most of the scoring, and it comes from different places every night. You know, you'll get a guy who will pop two goals on a Friday and then won't score again for the next four games. But with that mix, it makes them a little tougher to defend. The problem that you run into with that is there's no go-to guy. It's not like you've got a Jack Connolly type or a, you know, Austin Smith type guy who can say, okay, let's go out and get one. And then, you know, you get that big play or generates chances. So, you know, not having that game changer could be a factor to a little bit of a concern for the Big Red, but they've made it this far without that. And it's a young team. I mean, they're losing four seniors of import next year of guys who kind of are lineup regulars. One of those plays on the third line in Locke Gilson, two are defensemen who are nice pieces, good leadership, but talent wise, they're not the top two or three guys on that blue line. And then Sean Collins, who is a very serviceable centerman, but, you know, he has 24 points that can be replaced. So this is maybe a Cornell team that's a year away, especially with a sophomore goalie and Andy Isles. The one I mentioned, not having a game changer or that dynamic talent, the one guy who would probably fit that description best is Brian Ferlin, who's a freshman, Boston Bruins draft pick, and he's been out with injury for the last seven games. So you've got that to consider. It's a tough ask for them to beat Michigan, but they've got they're not going to beat themselves. You know, they're pretty sound. They've been in some big games that they've won, and they've been in some big games that they haven't been able to win. But I think it's prepared them. You know, it helped them against Dartmouth in the quarterfinal round of the ECAC playoffs. It helped them against Union the second to last night of the regular season. You know, and they've got that going for them. So to me, that Cornell's got a shot for sure. It's just you can't point to the one reason. You point to more reasons why they wouldn't lose than point to reasons why they'd win. If that makes any sense.
It does.
Good. I'm happy. happy to make sense. And then you get to the other semifinal in that region, and it's two teams just that have played different amounts of hockey over the last 3 weeks.
Oh, goodness. Talk about, you know, one of the legendary stories is Denver's 2004 national championship team, where they got bounced in the first round of the WCHA playoffs, got to sit and rest for a week, then got to play a regional close to home, and, you know, go into the Frozen Four having hardly played any hockey, all fresh, all rested, getting guys back from injury. This year's the opposite of that. They've played, after last night, they had played, I think, 6 games in 9 days, a bunch of overtimes. They're a beat-up team. Now they've got to go play a Friday regional game a fairly long way from home. So what's intriguing about Denver is you just don't know what their lineup is going to look like due to the injuries they've had, and not just recent injuries, but guys like Bo Bennett and David Makowski, and, you know, guys that have been out for significant portions of the season. Now there are hints that some of them may be available. Jason Zucker, who missed a good portion of the WCHA championship game, we don't know his status. So, you know, what are you? How do you prepare for that team when you literally don't know who they're going to have and which of their three goalies they're going to play?
Yeah, that's tough. And how do you prepare for Ferris State when you don't have any tape? Because
yeah, nobody's seen them in weeks.
Yeah, they don't play a lot on TV.
It's on Super 8.
Yeah, and a Ferris State
cell phone video on YouTube.
Yeah.
Ferris State, obviously CCHA regular season champions, number one ranked team in the country for portions of the second half of the season. Definitely a good team. Is there cause for concern right now with maybe a little bit of what we were saying earlier about the stage and about being in this tournament with big expectations and not a lot of background to call upon?
Yeah, I think that that's a definite concern. And, you know, the one thing that concerns me about them, about Ferris, and I kind of can mention the same thing in the same breath with Lowell, is, you know, Ferris kind of went along during the course of the season doing their own thing, and then all of a sudden it's mid-February, and everybody's looking around, and they're number one in the nation. They're in the driver's seat for the CCHA regular season championship, and it seems like Ferris kind of realized that too, and then they start squeezing the sticks a little bit. And, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily if they changed their style, or maybe their mindset changed a little bit, or maybe it's just the case of other teams, you know, throwing their best effort at them. But, you know, they kind of struggled down the stretch a little bit. You know, they didn't win the CCHA regular season title in the most dramatic fashion. You know, they went in a shootout victory against Western Michigan, and then go back to their place the next night in the regular season finale and lose to Western. Then they play Bowling Green, the 11th place team, in the CCHA playoff quarterfinals and lose to them in 3 games. So,
Boss, Don Lucia has said, you know, when you ask him about the McNaughton Cup, he said you want to win it, but you don't want to win it at all costs. You know, you want to leave something on the table. Is this an example of that, where Ferris just expended so much energy to get the regular season title that there might not be a lot left in the tank?
I don't know if it's that so much, because it wasn't...
Because of the last weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if they expended a ton of energy trying to get to that point. I mean, the CCHA was such an odd league this year, and I think, that you'd see teams kind of creep up and then maybe fall by the wayside a little bit, and then Ferris was just kind of always there. You know, they were the most consistent, which is why they ended up winning.
One note I like about Ferris, I want to congratulate them, because you mentioned they were ranked number one in the country for a time. I want to congratulate them for being ranked number one in the country and still actually making the NCAA tournament this year, because I can think of at least two teams that were top ranked at one point that are not playing anymore.
Yeah,
it happens more than we'd like to admit.
Yeah.
You know, getting to their style of play a little bit, you know, they've got a good goalie in Taylor Nelson. He's a senior. As compared to the teams that, that Ferris has had in the past, I think that this group plays a little bit more of an up-tempo style, whereas Ferris really in the past liked to play more of a defense-first physical style. And, you'll still see some of that physicality, but Bob Daniels at the beginning of the season felt he had the right collection of guys on his roster to play a little bit more of an up-tempo style, and they've done that. They've scored 116 goals. The one thing that you notice about Ferris is, they've always got good, not great talent on their roster. And it seems like when they really make that leap, and it seems obvious to say, but when they really make that leap, like they did back in the days of Chris Kunitz back in about 03, they get career years from a bunch of guys, you know, and case in point is for Ferris this year is Jordy Johnston, who, you know, came into the season. He had in three seasons had a total of something like 21 points, and he's got 33 this year. So he really, when Ferris, it seems like those years when they make that leap from a really solid CCHA program to one that competes at a national level, they get career years from a bunch of different guys, and I think you're seeing a lot of that this year.
A little bit more favorable draw for them this time too than their last NCAA tournament appearance for Bob Daniels. I was at that series in 2003 when they get put to the West Regional. You know, they win the CCHA, they get put to the regional at Mariucci Arena, where they have to face the defending national champion Minnesota team on that gigantic rink, and boy, no chance. But a little better this time.
Yeah, Ferris and Union. The more we talk about this, I'm finding similarities between little pockets of teams here.
Yeah, I think so.
This will be something we'll talk about over the week as we head into this. But you know, you look at some of the teams that started maybe with a little bit of a so-so beginning and then really got hot at the end. You talk about Miami and BC and North Dakota. You know, you talk about teams that are maybe a year away, you know, like Cornell and Michigan State. Talk about teams that are calling on some experience, with Western Michigan and Union. And you know, it's an interesting mix of teams that have to have a lot in common, I think. And I brought up a couple of those. So let's move into the West Regional now and start with the North Dakota-Western Michigan game. Interesting game. We think it's probably the best of all of the eight games that are being these first-round games. To me, that's the one I'd spend the most money to buy a ticket to. I'd buy a ticket to all of them. But I like college hockey, so. Just start with North Dakota, where they are now. Again, not the start they wanted to have. They've dealt with injuries all season. I know you mentioned Dave Haxtell is your coach of the year, in your year-end report for the WCHA. Not so much how they got there, but how are they now that they are?
Yeah, just the and my thinking in that was just the way they were able to survive with all they've dealt with. And what they are now is a team with one very good line, with decent goaltending, with two huge bookend defensemen in Ben Blood and Derek Forbort, and those two can be your best friend and they can be your worst enemy because they do take inopportune penalties, and we've seen that a few times in recent weeks. But that one line is about as good as it gets, or at least in the way they've been playing right now, and Brock Nelson is really the catalyst for that. I thought he should have been the MVP of the WCHA tournament, and he has really hit his stride right now. And it's a team that's playing with some confidence. You know, they just won their third WCHA playoff title in a row. They're playing in a building where obviously they're going to be very comfortable and have a lot of fans there. But knowing the nature of rabid fans, which North Dakota's fans certainly are, it's not going to be as easy as they think. I mean, this is a very good Western Michigan team. And keep in mind, Andy Murray sent one of his kids to college at North Dakota, so he knows a little bit about that program.
Yeah, good call. Bus, you're really bullish on Western Michigan.
I am. I love this team. And, you know, our CCHA writer, James Dowd, would, if he was on the podcast tonight, he'd be waving the Western flag too. There's no question about it. I like the makeup of this team, and I also think they match up very well with North Dakota, and I think that's mainly because of their defensive core. I mean, I like some of the guys that they've got up front at forward with Chase Ballasy. You've got a guy like Shane Birschbach. I always pronounced that wrong. You know, some younger guys who lead the team in scoring, and some veteran guys in there that can score as well. Maybe a little bit more of a, you know, a gritty straight line type team. Players like Dane Walters, who I think is their leading goal scorer. Ian Slater, who's their captain. But the defense, the four defensemen that they have, their top four, I think match up with anybody in the country. And I, you know, if you gave me those four to start a team with, I'd gladly take them. I think they're as good as a quartet as you'll find in the country with, you know, Garrett Haar, defenseman. He's good size at, you know, 6 foot, 190. Had a real nice season as a rookie for them. Danny DeKaiser, who we've talked about last season and this season. He's an undrafted guy, and, you know, people are going to come after him after this season. You know, he's one of those guys that all 30 teams in the AHL are going to try and make a play for. A big guy at 6'3", big mobile defenseman who skates really well for a guy his size. And then you've got some veteran guys, Luke Witkowski, another big guy at 6'2". And then you've got Matt Tennyson, who is another veteran guy, and another 6'2", 200-pounder. And, yeah, all these guys are big, but you know, they move their feet well. They've got a nose for offense, and I just think they're probably as versatile as a group of defensemen as you're going to see, and they're going to give North Dakota everything they can handle. It's going to be a heck of a game.
Yeah, that's the best game of the first round. I think the one with the most unknown to consider is got to be this other semifinal in the West Regional, which is Minnesota and BU. I could see both teams winning by six. I could see a 1-1, and I could see a 10-9. I mean, there's a lot that could happen in that one. Kevin, let's start with you and Boston University, some of the stuff they've gone through this year, and where they might be right now. I think it helped the team.
The BU's kind of had a lot of off-ice kind of struggles this year. I think it's pretty well documented at this point. But I think being the one Hockey East team to kind of get shipped out west, I think sort of is just the icing on the cake for them at this point, you know. And I think they've handled everything that's happened to them with a pretty strong focus on the ice, and I expect to see much of the same this weekend. To be honest, I think getting away from Boston will probably be helpful to them, kind of a little bit fewer distractions in that. Didn't look all that great, I didn't think, in the Hockey semifinal loss against Maine the other night. Defensively, Kieran Millan obviously won the whole thing as a freshman, so he's got the experience. He's playing pretty well right now. The question that I have with BU at this point is sort of where are their goals going to come from. They've got two pretty good lines, not outstanding lines, and I think that's definitely their biggest concern right now is their offensive production.
Where do you think Minnesota is, Jess, with what happened in the WCHA Final Five game there?
Boy, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mean, this is a team that's capable of winning this regional and is frankly capable of winning a national title. The question they've got to answer is how they respond when they get punched in the face. And we saw the way they responded in their last outing, and it wasn't very well. I mean, this was a team where everything was going right. They were controlling the game. They had a big crowd on their side. and then something popped, and it all just went down. And, you know, Don Lucia, to his credit, has said, hey, bury the dead, move on. Forget about this one and come back and do it better the next time. And you have to think that he'll use this as a teachable moment. I have been very impressed all season, and I even was in the North Dakota game, with a guy like Kyle Rau, who's a freshman and has never played like a freshman. I mean, he is one of the hungriest players around the other team's crease that I have ever seen, and just gets in there and digs and digs and digs and finds a way to score goals. And the flip side of that, the concern I would have if I were a Gopher fan, is what happened to Nick Bukestad in that game. And he has been such an important player all season, and disappeared. Now, he was banged up and a little injured a couple weeks ago. People insist that I talk to that he's healthy, but if he disappears against BU like he did against North Dakota, you're going to have a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that's it. Again, I don't know what's going to happen in that game. Definitely the marquee regionals, certainly. And those games will be on at a time when there won't be a lot of other games on, because it'll be the late starts. So a lot of people get a chance to see those games, and that'll be good stuff. So let's get right into predictions. People want that, right? Right?
I guess sure. So.
Kevin, we're going to make you go first because you're the rookie.
Awesome. Thanks. I appreciate that.
You got it. Pick. We don't need a national champion here.
Just pick
a Frozen Four. Get one team out of each of these groups here.
All right, we're gonna start out west here. I'm going back and forth on Minnesota and North Dakota on that one. I'm probably gonna say I like Minnesota to win that one on home ice. I just feel as though that they've got enough horsepower to kind of push through there. The Midwest Regional, I'm going to go with Denver. I just think that all four of those teams I could very easily see coming out of that regional. But to me, I think Denver's probably the most talented player or team that they would have. And I just think that given everything else that they've had this year, I could see Denver sneaking out that one. Moving to the Northeast, I like Boston College. There's just too much going on with that team that I can't see them stumbling in that regional. And then the East one, I'm gonna go with the experience factor and give this one to Miami. I can see the Red Hawks getting back to the Frozen Four for what is it, third time in the last 4 years. So that's my final four: Miami, Denver, BC, and Minnesota.
All right. Any volunteers to go next?
I'll go next.
Go ahead, Jess.
I'll get it out of the way. BC.
Okay.
I think it'll be a good regional. There's some great talent there, especially in that 2-3 game, but I just think the Eagles are playing too well right now and have too much experience at that level to be denied right now. In Bridgeport, I like the way Kevin thinks. I'm going Miami. Again, I like the experience. I like the fact that they have the one coach who's ever come back for a second year among any of these guys. And
I don't think any of these guys are in jeopardy of not coming back next year, though.
Well, I've heard some rumors. I'm not going to say them out loud. No, I think that Miami team, you know, you talk about a team in transition, but I like Connor Knapp. I like Riley Smith. I think that's the team that's going to come out of there. Green Bay, as much as I would love the story of Denver being able to finally, you know, rise to the top with all of the talent they've had and all the injuries they've dealt with, I just don't think they've got enough in the tank, and I've got to go with Michigan there. Again, it comes down to experience, and that's a team that proved last year you can never count them out, even, you know, when they go into situations where they shouldn't be favored, and they've got, you know, in theory, the best goalie left in the country that's still playing. I like their defense, like you talked about. And then the West in St. Paul, which I am happy to be covering. I agree. It's going to be fantastic hockey. I'm going to sound like a homer here, but whatever. I'm going with Minnesota. I think I've seen enough of them this season. I think they've got the talent where they can get out of this region, and the home ice part of it obviously helps. And I agree with Bus that Western Michigan North Dakota game is going to be a fantastic game. And if the Gophers don't have to play North Dakota again, that would be a huge thing for them.
I'll go next, Bus. You can wrap up here, and I'll go off a different kind of thought with that, Jess, is that the winner of that North Dakota Western Michigan game might take a lot out of them.
True.
But I just think North Dakota has it right now. That's a team that is finally seeming to get its goaltending thing figured out, which I think was as much an issue as the injuries this season. And as I go through and make these picks, I'm looking for that guy. You know, like, this tournament to me has been defined a little bit by who's got that big time player, who's got that Cam Atkinson or Nathan Gerby those big time players who can step forward.
JT Brown.
Yeah, you know, get those big goals when you need them, and I think North Dakota's got a lot of those types of guys right now. So give me the Sioux there. Same reason I'm picking Michigan, just slightly ahead of the other groups. Chris Brown, I think we haven't mentioned yet. John Merrill, there's the experience factor. They were in the national championship game last year, a lot of these players. So I'll take Michigan there. That's two number one seeds. Let's make that three with Boston College. The motivation of what happened last year to me is a big story around this BC team. And I know every team's different and you graduate guys and that whole line of thought. So you know, give me the Eagles there to be more focused, more disciplined, and it seems like those years that BC gets the Frozen, this is kind of how they do it. You know, they kind of flip a switch in January and say, okay, now it's time, and then run off a bunch of wins in a row. And I see that pattern right now. And in the other group,
don't go chalk. Come on,
I'm a chalk guy. Kevin.
Chalky.
I got a chalk.
Come on,
board.
Chalky.
Chalk. You know. You know what? Here's the deal. Michigan State, not yet. You know, they're a little bit of ways out. Lowell, not yet. So you're looking at Miami and Union. And I think this Union team is good enough to do it. You know what? Yeah, they are. They are. We've had them ranked higher than most other national polls, Boss. I guess this would be a good segue into you as well here. You know, because they've earned it. You know, is it? You know, they're 24-7-7. They've got the best scoring margin in the country. You know, they've won the games. They won at Michigan. They beat Merrimack. You know, they've got a lot going for them. And again, like to pick with Michigan a little bit. I think last year's experience, and you can see that this team is building on what went wrong last year for them toward the end of the season in the ECAC hockey playoffs as well as the national tournament. So I'll go with Union out of that group.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick, and mainly because I'm taking Union. To come out of that region, you know, we've talked about taking steps, and I think Union is ready and certainly capable of taking that step. You know, I see it as a Michigan or as a Miami Union final, and I do like the. I think Union is just a touch deeper up front, and I think that. They match up well in goal, and so I give them the slightest of edges over Miami. I'm going to stay on that part of the bracket, the Friday Saturday regionals, and I think I'm going with Denver, just because. Let me preface that by saying that that's the one region I think, maybe more so than any of the others, although we've said that the West region is probably the toughest, I think the Midwest is the one region where you can see any of those four teams coming out and it wouldn't be a complete surprise.
I agree with that.
I like Denver. Yeah, I know that they've been through a lot over the last couple weeks, and but you know what? They've been through a lot the entire season. They've had guys in and out of the lineup, guys hurt, guys, you know, goalie A is playing one night, goalie B is playing the next night, goalie C is playing the next week. You know, this is just another thing for them. And I think that, you know, I think to a certain extent they're due. And I think that if you look at the four teams in this regional, if every team plays at its max potential, Denver's the one that comes out. So I'm going with Denver there. BC, I think, is BC is the one team where I have to think of reasons why they won't win as opposed to the reasons they will win. And I can't think of any reasons that BC won't win. they're that good. And they've got that look. So that brings us to the West. I really, really want to pick Western Michigan to beat North Dakota. I really do. But, I mean, I think
and
that...
And your email address is...
Yeah, exactly. No. I think that's going to be a great game. I really am tempted to pick Western Michigan to win this regional, to be honest.
Do it.
I think that I just like the... I just like the way over the past, you know, month, 5 weeks, they've been the best team in the CCHA. And, you know, you talk about a team that isn't fazed by anything. I mean, West, these guys have had three different head coaches in the last 3 years. They went from basically last place. I'm talking myself into making this pick, aren't I?
Do it. Do it.
I'm going to pick Western Michigan. I like this team.
Yeah!
I really like this team. Sorry, North Dakota, but whatever. You've got an Olive Garden now, so that takes some of the sting away. No, yeah, I'm going with Western Michigan. I like this team.
There you go.
And you know what? Look at Andy Murray behind the bench. What? Tell me something that guy hasn't seen.
Oh, yeah.
In his years of coaching. I mean, it's... Yeah, it's new for these guys, but I like the makeup of their team. I love their defense. Getting great goaltending, and you know I like the energy of the forwards and the talent that they've got. I'm gonna go with every year there's one. I'm going with Western.
Yeah. It's funny when you mention Michigan, you know, about the way last year ended and guys with bad memories of that and how they might bounce back from that. I used that logic to pick North Dakota over BC in the Frozen Four about 4 years in a row, and it didn't work, but
yeah.
Oh well.
Exactly.
There's no way they can beat them 5 years in a row.
Oh, yes, there is.
Sure there is.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Good stuff.
I mean, I think we're all on the BC wagon.
I was at that game. Nathan Kirby had a hat trick.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, too. You know,
why are you putting sand in our wounds?
I saw that movie.
We mentioned how Maine has had that year where, you know, it's been a good year, but what are you going to have to show for it when it's all over?
Yeah.
Think about Minnesota Duluth that way, too.
Yeah.
You know, they win a national championship last year, and, you know, they're ranked number one for a good portion of this season. And, you know, when it's all over, you're not going to, you know, if they don't win two games this weekend, you're not going to have anything that you can, you know, even print a T-shirt for.
That's true.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Selection Sunday. A little look around the brackets and some predictions there for the people. Anything else, Phelps? It's all still new to us. You got to remember.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
We'll have other thoughts.
We will have other thoughts. It's. I don't know what to say about this field. I mean, I think it's very interesting, and you know, I think it's as balanced as we've seen, and you know, in at least in my recent memory.
Well, yeah, it's been that way all year too. You know?
Yeah, it really is. It really is a snapshot of the season.
You guys want to get in some trouble? Name the one team. Go ahead, pick any.
Mess around and get a triple double.
Mess around and get a triple double.
Oh, okay.
Pick one team that you have the least confidence in winning one game. Who is your A1 gold star lock to win the first round game?
The one and done game? The one and done team?
Yeah, pick the team that cannot win. No chance. It's
who
tough.
Starts?
What did you say?
I've got one actually.
Go for it.
I can't see BU beating Minnesota.
Really?
I think that's the one game that I look at that to me is a stone lock. And that's why I like Minnesota to advance out of that region, because I feel like that North Dakota Western Michigan game is going to be an absolute war. And I feel like Minnesota is going to have a very, very easy time dispatching BU.
Interesting.
I want to say Michigan State, but I'm going to go with Lowell.
Okay.
And Michigan State.
You want to know the dead meat team, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cornell. I don't think they can touch Michigan.
All right.
Gladdy, who do you like?
Well, the reason... Who do I like or who do I do and don't I like?
I like this. We do our dead meat pick. Dead team walking.
Well, the reason why I bring this up is because... So 2 years ago, I was pretty vocally on the record on the Selection Sunday Inch podcast that there is no way in the world Bemidji State can beat Notre Dame. It is impossible. Don't even play the game. There's one game in this whole tournament you do not have to watch, and that's the one. So that's why I preface this whole conversation with, who wants to get in trouble? To me, the team is Maine.
Yeah, I could see that too.
I just, you know, with the uncertainty around Abbott, and I saw him enough to, like, I like the one line, but I don't think there's much there after that. You know, they got some nice players, but I just, with the depth that Minnesota Duluth has over two lines, and some of the talent and skill they have to make plays there, you've got a goalie who's won a national championship. You've got a team that returns a lot of guys. And you've got a main team who hasn't been there before. And that's what I'm seeing lately is that the teams who have been in this tournament have a distinct advantage over the newcomers. So to me, I'd go with Duluth as that choice.
Bemidji would beg to differ.
No, not necessarily, because they've been in that tournament before.
RIT would.
RIT was the one, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what does it say about Hockey East that three of our four picks there have been Hockey East teams?
Yeah. Says Nessa needs better distribution. Really? I mean, I maybe know the least about those teams.
Nah.
So. All right. That'll do it then. You got our predictions for success and predictions for failure.
If I were a betting man, glad he's a betting man.
Not on sports.
If I were a betting man, I would lean towards our predictions for failure, as opposed to our predictions for success.
Yeah.
just saying.
That's the easy money.
Well, the only unanimous pick we had was Boston College, so.
Oh.
There's some differentiation here.
You know, and that's a great region, too.
Yeah.
And it really is, because Air Force is never an easy out, and you do have the defending national champions there.
Yeah.
Plus, it's in Worcester.
Right.
venerable old downtown arena.
What does DCU stand for? Do we know? Credit union? Some kind of credit union?
Perhaps.
Is that the CU part of it?
University of Colorado.
I like it. The Denver campus?
Maybe.
DCU?
Digital credit. Digital Federal Credit Union.
Are you Not serious? Bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
What happened to the F?
That's crazy, man. But the F. Where's the F?
I had a friend ask me one time about University of Phoenix Stadium.
Yeah.
He said, you never hear anything about their football team.
Have you ever tried to arrange a practice with all those campuses? Madness.
This is mini deterioration.
Yeah.
Quarterback be available for an interview or does he have class? It's up to him.
That was one of the better band taunts I've ever heard. Gopher St. Cloud State game, the Gopher band played the National American University theme.
Jeez.
When St. Cloud came out on the ice, it's a good time.
I don't get that app. So.
Sorry.
Yeah, my pop culture vacancy is struck me down, apparently.
National American is one of those, you know, for-profit schools.
It's one of those ones on the TV.
Get your degree even if you don't have your high school diploma, that kind of thing.
Oh.
It's one of those universities that offers a degree in locksmith.
Scalp care.
Gun repair.
Wow.
All right. Well, here we are again as we started NCAA tournament time. A little bittersweet. Obviously, very exciting weekend coming up. But there's only 15 games left in the college hockey season. So we'll have all your coverage for that all week long, of course. Our team-by-team capsules are available on the site now. Line charts, facts and figures, tournament history, what you need to know about each team, keys to success, and concerns regarding their potential failures. Again, you know, check out our tournament coverage as well. And we'll have a wish list, we'll have IQs, we'll have first shift power rankings. It's a big week here, so we're excited as you are. Thanks for listening to the Inch Podcast. For Jess Myers, Mike Eidelbus, Kevin Zeese, I am Joe Gladyszewski, and this has been the Inch Podcast.
Just a bunch of hoseheads. I'm glad we're done with these guys.
Yeah!